born ready.
We're recording right into the box, not the computer.
All
right?
Okay.
Hey, yo, welcome to the podcast, the Liberated Educators, with two brothers already and able sit at the table. It's Ken Sheldon, D. Linnea. Yeah, y'all, they doing this. They're purely intellectuals and equity enthusiasts, creating change by shifting the conversations, critical to our culture, to our people, to our nation. And for the record, yeah, they talking education. Yeah, they talking about building our own, because we've been patient. A CPT concept, three different segments that's jam-packed with content we all can invest in. Breaking that chain called tradition, the critical conversations on issues, but y'all listen, they ain't talking about it late, y'all just hearing it, so sit back, relax, tune in, and be a part of this. You know how hard it is, they know you want greater, they know you want the Liberated Educator.
It's still live. Feeling like Mardi Gras up in here.
Wow, yeah, really. Mardi Gras, so is that a geographical reference?
It is. You know?
We in the 504.
We in the 504. Try to give you some more. What you be on, Big Leon?
I'm chilling.
We got a special guest who has been patient. The brother's been patient.
That's what we just now hearing it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Patient, pushing, promoting. The whole deal, yeah.
All
special guest. So, for the audience, our guest today, we wanted to have him on the pod for a while. Hot minute. Yes, and of course, it's always fun trying to schedule across four different time zones. But we're here. We're live coming to you from ISTE, the International Society for Technology and Education Conference, where there's been a lot that's been happening here. And what's most important is we got literally sitting right next to us, Mr. Leon Tynes.
Hey, what's going on?
Let him hear from you.
It's about time, Tynes.
Yeah. What's up? I'm happy to be here. Happy to be back in person, seeing my people.
Right.
You know, that's important.
And when you say your people, what's your count up? We just sitting here in this lobby. Where's your count at?
Probably this table. Well,
hey, because we keep it cultural. Some people know what we're talking about.
Absolutely.
And some others are trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
We are counting the black people that we see. Because that's what we do wherever we are.
Yeah.
If we're honest.
There should be more, given that this is a chocolate city. There should be more culture in this lobby right now. I'm just going to leave it there.
Okay.
Speaking of which, I'm going to add to the conversation. You won an award at ISTE, because I remember I was in there in 2018. And
you
your
remember
area,
2018? I don't remember 2018.
I do, because I was fortunate enough to also win an award in 2018.
Oh, that's why.
And I just remember just seeing Leon win the award, and I was like, I've got to go connect with this brother, because not only were you Teacher of the Year, but what I think is important for our audience to hear is what you teach and what you bring to education, not just in what you do, but the impact that you have on others.
So yes, I teach computer science, 7 different languages. I've also teach 3D animation and AutoCAD and all the Autodesk products, all the Adobe products. So multimedia across the board as well, intertwined with computer science. So I'm here training with Unreal right now and trying to bring that to my campus.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay.
So for those of you listening, basically there is nothing that Leon can't do.
Hey, I love what you did there too. You brought it in. You said 7 different languages.
7 different languages.
Oh, yes, sir.
There's still some people trying to catch up on that, too. They're like, wait a minute. Now we're counting, and now we have different languages. Some people are catching on.
Yeah.
So break that down for us.
Ooh, good Lord. I mean, I know all the block-based languages, but you're talking about CSS. You're talking about Java, JavaScript, Python, C++.
So now people, the light bulb just went off for some people. Meant, okay, I got it.
Coding languages.
Coding languages.
Still another language.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we talk about...
It's a lot of that.
We talk about needing to learn languages, talk about needing to have language immersion in schools.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt, because, I mean, in my experience, kids, you know, I work in Arizona, a lot of dual language learners, they tend not to have a problem with computer science. And it might be the way that I'm teaching it as well, where we talk about, you know, objects and functions. I don't need you to know what that word is. I need you to memorize what it is. And if you need a cheat sheet, which is what every coder has, because I have a document full of things that I am not going to memorize.
Bro. Wait, could you, because I know some folks listening that may not have been exposed to a computer science narrative, if you don't mind, could you repeat what every coder has in order to perform the essential functions of their job?
They have a cheat sheet, and then they also have a community of people who share code.
Wow. Yo, I'm hoping that folks double click on that, because we're building parallels right now.
Yes.
For sure.
I'm
by the way, my count is up to 10.
Just how might that work in an actual classroom environment? So they have a cheat sheet, and they have a whole community of folks that they work with to perform the essential functions of their job.
Correct.
Yeah, I just want to make sure that I was understanding you correctly so the people in the back know we're not making this stuff up.
Well, let me give you something else that for the people in the back. Anybody who teaches computer science and gives a test where you have one attempt is foolish. Oh.
That's not even the engineering process or the design process.
Because in real life, you're using an IDE, a development.
Why are we talking about real life?
Yeah.
Why are we talking about real life?
Because that's what I train my kids for.
Right.
I train them to just get through school.
Right.
Like, that's not the goal. The goal is for you to be successful and to be able to use your multi-talents. Not one, because I encourage my kids to have a major and a minor or a double major.
My man!
I don't play with that. Not at all. You need to be able to pivot and rotate and move at will. That's the 21st century.
So I always say we need to be multi-dialectical, and we need to have digital dexterity.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right. Multi-dialectical and digital dexterity.
Because let's put it in plain terms. Once you, in most software programs, if you understand the menu, you know the program.
Right.
Bingo.
It's that
simple. Effective UI
design. But teach
design
the menu.
Too.
Teach the menu.
I'm going to need that. That's going to be the next t-shirt I make. Teach the menu.
The IDE is an environment where you go in, you put your code, you press run. It'll tell you the line where the mistake is and give you some kind of contextual understanding of what that is. So if I do it in class, my kids do it in class, experts do it, why am I going to give you a singular opportunity to get a grade? So I'm going to lower your grade because of a parentheses or a comma? Are you serious right now?
Or what if the goal was to teach them how to correct the mistake so that they have clean code?
That's always the goal.
And I'm hoping people are following this conversation along the parallel tracks that we're hoping.
That's the code. That's the code of coding. So if you're talking about something like Google Earth or something has failed tens of thousands of times, and finally, one time it starts to succeed.
And if I may, since we're on parallel tracks here, you run the IDE, it gives you feedback that is ongoing and diagnostic so that you know where to take the corrective steps.
Exactly.
D, I'm wondering how might that work, I don't know, in every other content area?
I was like, which one is it going to bring up? Right.
Right. We've got to think the way that we're assessing students. Think of a different way of doing it. Not just the singular, you got one shot, and I'm going to stress out, and I'm going to cry, and I'm going to... It's just not worth it. It doesn't work, and it just defeats so many of our students and a lot of students of color.
So, yeah, and honestly, what you're sharing, I'm getting goosebumps, and it's resonated with me, especially in the context of how often do we hear educators say that I'm preparing students for the real world? And yet you just gave an example of I'm preparing students for the real world. The real world is not one time, one shot.
No.
The real world is ongoing, diagnostic, consistent feedback to correct errors and to continue to grow.
Yep.
How about this? Why don't we make errors in front of our kids? I do it all the time.
We do it in front of kids all the time.
Yes.
That's one of the things I always notice when I was real young and early in doing presentations in front of teachers.
Right.
Thank you.
Oh, it was like nerve-wracking because I recognized that educators expected me to be perfect in my presentation, knowing that they aren't in front of their students and knowing that the best learning happens in community. But so when it's a reciprocal relationship.
Let me bring this back to even something even bigger.
All right.
Are they even close to perfect? Do they even know pedagogy?
No.
Do they follow research? So what is their standard of perfect? What does that look like? Is it based on actual cognitive science?
Ooh.
Most of the time, no.
No.
They're 20 years behind the research. So it's just like, so what is this perfection level that you're talking about?
Traditions, habits, cultural expectations.
Habits I almost of just mind, said cultural norms.
I almost just said expectation. Like, no, let's be very clear.
So I'm on a line with people that already died.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, there's that part. I'm hoping that those of you listening are able to draw some of the direct correlations with what Liana shared. And just to add to this recording, Lee and I had a conversation before this conversation, and we were sharing thoughts around how there are so many elements within a computer science curriculum and a computer science learning experience that do not limit you to only computer science. Mm-hmm. It's one of the reasons why, for me, with the opportunities I have, I'm such a staunch advocate for computer science being accessible, equitable, and a transformative learning experience for all students, especially those that are historically excluded and marginalized. You do not have to pursue a career in computer science by taking computer science classes. And I don't mean that as a negative. I mean that as it's often looked at as a pigeonhole. Oh, if you do this, it's only to this logical outcome. Mm-hmm. And you have brilliantly shared here with the audience all the parallels.
Right?
All the parallels. If you don't mind, I would love for you to share a little bit about some of the impactful projects, and I know some of them because, full disclosure, Leon and I stay in touch often.
Yeah.
I would love for you to share with the audience some of the big projects that you have empowered your learners to do.
What y'all cooking up?
Just this last year, you know, I'm now at an all-girls Catholic school, and we're working to diversify 40% on a scholarship, and it's
nice.
It's expensive. It's $21,000 to go.
Ooh.
So it's a big nut to carry. I'm the first African-American male ever to teach at the school. So we are creating legacy.
The first.
The first.
Okay.
Proudly the first.
It's 2022.
Hey. Okay. Some people arrive late to the party.
Hey, because I know you won't forget what you're about to say, but you said something a while back that I had to think on, I had to come back to, and it was when you said, so we're just going to follow some of the cultural traditions of some people that are dead already.
Correct.
And then whose research has also been debunked already.
Absolutely.
Right? Absolutely. Like learning styles?
Mm-hmm.
Homework?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, gosh.
All those things don't work. That's why my kids don't have it.
Grit and resilience.
Oh,
growth mindset.
Yeah. Yeah, my kids don't have it because I want you to fail while I'm there. So that if you can't figure it out, I'm there to support you.
See, but there's... I'm taking you off track, but okay. I know it's the same tracks. We still go in the same destination, but even some of the language that you've used, I got to let you know, it's given me a little bit of a heart palpitation because I'm like, why is that the language? And it's not on you, but it's like, you said cheat sheet, and that sounds like something bad, right? It has a negative connotation. You just said, I want them to fail in front of me. I'm like... No, right? There's this thing,
right?
That arises in me, and it's because of the ways that I've been conditioned.
Right.
It's like, it's a form of PTSD. I'm like, you just, I can't fail.
No doubt.
And I can't cheat.
Right.
Well,
I can't get caught doing either of those things.
I don't consider it cheating. I consider it using a resource.
We need to start really understanding.
I call it a cheat sheet because that's what we called it
back
in the day.
No.
But at the end of the day, this is what professionals do. We need to start aligning our instruction with what's being done at the college and the career level.
Yeah. Well, it's like when you're talking about equity work and talking about having people who are outside of our culture being allies and accomplices. And I'm like, why does it always have this negative connotation, like it's criminal activity? Now, granted, in some cases and in many ways, it has been and is. Mm-hmm. But nonetheless, like it has this negative and sometimes devious and or criminal connotation attached to it.
Right.
And that's how it stays in the margins, right?
Exactly.
if you participate in that, you're doing something you're not supposed to.
So when I did quantitative methods when I got my MBA.
Got it.
The teacher basically told, she's from UC Berkeley, she basically told us that you will not get these problems right. You're going to mess up somewhere in your calculus and you're going to get it wrong. Mm-hmm. It's not about getting the problem right. It is about getting the process correct, the steps right.
Process, not outcome.
Mic drop.
I gotta add one quick thing. Because for me, I think between D and myself, I'm a little bit more of the, shall I say, word nerd. I love the nuance of language. And Leon, I'm sitting here waiting, and you said, I encourage educators to shift their terminology. It's not a cheat sheet, it's a resource guide.
Mm-hmm.
We think about resource. We use those when we need them to fill a need that we have identified right now. That, in that instance that you shared, that I won't go to this guide unless it's the resource I need to continue, as you just perfectly put it, the process.
Right.
I don't know of a single industry in which there is an individual that doesn't access some sort of resource because they're only going to know so much. Yep. It's like if you go to a doctor and you say, well, this, I'm describing my symptoms. And if they don't know, you know what they do? They're going to go research it.
Absolutely.
That's their resource guide. Mm-hmm. Why are we telling kids, you know, learners, no, you can't do that. You have to only use what's in your head.
Doctors get taught a process. They're not taught to have all the information. It's a diagnostic process.
Right.
And it's some of the basic terminology and the basic functions. That's what they learn. They don't learn everything about medicine. You got to be kidding me.
No, that's why they're called specializations.
Absolutely.
Well, for any process to be replicable, all that's necessary is for you to understand the process.
That's it.
Right?
That's
because if you had to memorize all of the details, then no one would be able to do it.
No one would be able to.
And that's coming from the design, demarginalization of design head right there.
Plug.
Right. Not shameless.
I know we're time, but ask me your question and see if I can do it fast. Again,
when you coming back on the pod?
Anytime.
We got to do your story right. We got to have you back no matter what. Man. But the question that I had asked, just for our audience to really get some degree of context of the impact that you make, is because you and I stay in touch on the regular. What is, just share an example of a recent project that you had learners do that was empowering within the scope of computer science.
Okay. We are building tools to help communities be able to identify how to recycle trash.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because so many,
I will
know,
want good.
On a school environment, 40% of the trash is food. Is food waste. So how do we do that, and we do it in a sustainable way, and we're not adding to all of these landfills and things like that? So they're actually building computational tools to be able to scan things, to use some AR and VR to be able to say, hey, let me scan what that looks like. Let's look at a vector image and what does the paper or something else look like.
Everything you just said just got me super amped. I know we're about to close out, but the fact that you brought up things like AR and VR, mm-hmm. and they weren't ends and of themselves. Mm-hmm. It was, we are doing this for, and it's like sustainable practices in our community. And that's what we should be focusing on all the time.
Purpose-driven,
contextual, mm-hmm. real, relevant. That's civic engagement too.
Absolutely. Yo, absolutely. That sounds a lot to me like liberation.